أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأنذر الناس يوم يأتيهم العذاب فيقول الذين ظلموا ربنا أخرنا إلى أجل قريب نجب دعوتك ونتبع الرسل أولم تكونوا أقسمتم من قبل ما لكم من زوال وسكنتم في مساكن الذين ظلموا أنفسهم وتبين لكم كيف فعلنا بهم وضربنا لكم الأمثال وقد مكروا مكرهم وعند الله مكرهم وإن كان مكرهم لتزول منه الجبال فلا تحسبن الله مخلف وعده رسله إن الله عزيز ذو انتقام يوم تبدل الأرض غير الأرض والسماوات وبرزوا لله الواحد القهار. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم بارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى من استنى بسنته واهتدى بهديه وسار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, in today's lesson, we are going to be looking at the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Jabbar and Al-Qahhar. And as these are two names of might and power, destruction and forcefulness, that show the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes that deal with his ability and his will that nobody can stand in front of. Despite that being the case, I shared this after Salah a few weeks ago, but I wanted to share it today on the live stream as well, so that the online listeners can also see. A few weeks ago, we learned about Allah's name, Al-Wadud, the most loving. And I was visiting a friend of mine, and I was talking to his mother, and I was explaining to her, today's name is Al-Wadud, the loving, the most loving. And I said, one thing that we should learn as parents, especially for those with children, is that when a child is young, it's important to emphasize to them the mercy and the love of Allah. Because a child, at that moment in time, at that age, they don't fully understand, comprehend anger, wrath, punishment. They see that as something very negative, but it's something parents overly emphasize. And at that young age, they should generally understand that believers are going to receive the mercy of Allah and are destined for the mercy of Allah and the love of Allah. That doesn't mean they don't know about the punishment of Allah or His wrath, but that one should be more emphasized, much more emphasized than the other. سَبَقَتْ رَحْمَتِي غَضَبِي, as it comes in a hadith. And I was talking to this auntie, and she was saying, you know, let me show you something, how I tried to make the love of Allah a very important part of my children's life. And she went to the loft, and she brought this. I want to show all of you today, for those who saw it already and those who didn't see it. MashaAllah, I hope everybody can see this. She hand embroidered Allah's name Al-Wadud on a piece of fabric. It took her weeks. And she framed it in the house of her children, in the room of her children. Because she said, every day they wake up, I want them to wake up to the names of Allah. And I want them to sleep to the names of Allah. And when I see this name, I should be more loving towards them. These are small things, but you don't know as a parent what is going to embed itself in the heart of this child. And one important technique as a parent is to, in conversation with your children, always link everything back to Allah. Today, before coming here, I had a talk in the Etihad Stadium. I had a talk inside a conference which was hosted inside the Manchester City Etihad Stadium. And my son, although he's 6 years old, he's a big Manchester United fan. So parking, entering the stadium, he was crying. Because he's entered the house of his enemy. No problem. I said, no problem. And we came in. He said, Baba, what are you doing here in the football stadium? I said, I came to give a khutbah. He said, khutbah in the football stadium? So then this is the moment to teach your children about Allah. I sat down, I said, you see? This is the place where the great footballers come, right? All of your favorite players, they come here, they play here, play here. But only because I know a little bit of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored me to come and sit in a conference area which is higher than where they are playing. This shows that if you know the words of Allah, you'll be greater than Maradona and Pele and Ronaldo. You're greater than all of them. He stood there like, oh. He didn't think about that. So he stopped crying and he became excited. And he started revising the surah that he's supposed to be memorizing these days, Surah Al-Qiyamah. So these are ways we have to always see. Sometimes you don't have to react to our children. We have to remind them, link everything, every conversation, every discussion, link it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is really such an important technique. Coming to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are going to take today, Al-Jabbar, Al-Qahhar, and both are very close and interlinked in meaning. In the Arabic language, Al-Qahr, Qahr al-Shay, is for you to forcefully make it under your control. Al-Ghalabatu wa-Tadhlilu ma'an, as Al-Raghib al-Isfahani says. And as we are coming towards the end, this might be the second last or the third last of these lessons, it's important for me to share with you my resources and references so inshallah you can continue this journey without me. One of the greatest resources to read on understanding the usage of Allah's names in the Quran is Imam al-Raghib al-Isfahani's book Mufradat al-Fadhil Quran in Arabic. It's not translated. If you're in English, if you know only English, learn Arabic. So you can read, honestly, if you learn Arabic just to read this book, that's enough. You don't need any other reason. Al-Qahhar in Arabic, al-Raghib al-Isfahani says, he says, it is when someone or something takes power over someone or something else while humiliating them. They're smaller than him. You know, for example, the national grid is in control of the electricity in this room, right? If they turn one switch, electricity can turn off, right? So they are in control over us in some sense. We all have to go home if they turn the lights off. But are we under them? Are we reporting to them? Are we subservient? Are we in control? No, we're not. So that is ghalaba. They own, they control something, but that doesn't mean that I am lower than them. Right? So two separate things. Qahr is when you're not just in power and control, but you're in control over those who are lower than you, less powerful than you. They look up to you, they listen to you, they obey you, etc. This is what qahr means. On the other hand, so qahr becomes Allah's name, Al-Qahhar. And he also uses his name in the Quran, Al-Qahir. Qahhar is more emphatic, severely, strongly, and frequently compelling others to do his command or to listen to his command, to obey his command. There's another name of Allah we're discussing, Al-Jabbar. Jabbar in the Arabic language, who can tell me when they say in the Arabic language, Ajbartuhu ala shay'? What does that mean? One meaning of Jabbar or Jabr is to force someone to do something. Right? So if you have homework, أجبرته على الهومورك, I forced him to do his homework. He has no choice. He has to do it. This is one meaning. There's another meaning of Jabbar or Jabr, which is to fix something that's broken. إصلاح الشيء. Like, for instance, you go to the dentist and you've got one gap in your teeth because, mashallah, you drank a lot of Coca-Cola. You know, when I was 13, I did a science experiment. I'm not joking. I'm very serious. I did a science experiment in school where I took 7 test tubes, and in each test tube, a different soft drink. Pepsi, Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Fanta, Mirinda. And in each one of them, we put one tooth. One of my friends, his mother collected all of his teeth. Don't ask me why. But we put it inside each test tube. And we put one in water, just to see, that's the control, just to see what happens. And after 2 months, we checked what was the effect of these soft drinks on those teeth. I don't know if we have any dentists in the room. But what do you think, which one was the worst effect on teeth? Of all of these I mentioned, Red Bull, Fanta, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, which one is the worst? Which one do you think? Which one? It wasn't Coca-Cola in my experiment. Yes? Red Bull. Red Bull had the worst effect. The tooth that was in the Red Bull, I think it lost half its weight after 2 months. Why did I tell you this? Qahar. Yes. Al-Qahar, to force. Right? To force someone to do something. To push someone. But Jabr, we're talking about Jabr, which is to fill a gap. So when you go to the dentist and you say, I have a gap here, can you please give me a filling? This is Jabr. He filled something where there was a gap, a weakness. If you have your bicycle, you leave your bicycle outside in the rain. After 3 days, you come back, it's full of orange rust. You take it to the mechanic. The mechanic, he sees there's a missing screw. He does Jabr. He fills the screw. He fixes it. He brings it together. So Jabbar has two meanings. One is to force, to compel. So someone who has no choice to do something. And the other meaning is to fill a gap, to fix, to rectify something. And both of these meanings are combined in Allah's name, Al-Jabbar. Now, when we come to the usage, of Allah's name, Al-Jabbar and Al-Qahar in the Quran, the first thing I'm going to ask you, Allah's name Al-Jabbar, in the Quran it has been mentioned many times. Only one time it is used to describe Allah. Many times it came in the Quran, but only once to describe Allah. Where was this? Surah Al-Hashr, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir. All the other times, it's not used to describe Allah. It's used to describe other people. Who can give me some examples? Yes. When Musa alayhi salam tells his people, go to the promised land, they say, "Inna fiha qawman jabbarin." There are Jabbar people in there. We're not going to go in there. Okay, what else? Yes. وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِجَبَّارٍ. Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ, you are not a Jabbar over them. We're going to explain what this means, but I'm just going to give you get the examples from you. Where else? Allah uses Jabbar in the Quran to describe Fir'aun. من كل متكبر جبار. You are coming close to it. من كل متكبر جبار. Musa accuses Fir'aun of being a jabbar. Surah Maryam. ولم يجعلني جبارا شقيا. Isa عليه السلام says, Alhamdulillah, Allah did not make me a jabbar. So all of these examples, are they positive examples or are they negative examples? Negative examples. What does Jabbar mean when it comes to human beings? Fir'aun, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Fir'aun, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes people, other people, etc. All these examples. He's saying tyrant. But what does it have to do? The meaning of Jabbar, I told you, one of the meanings of Jabbar is to fill a gap, to fix something that's broken. The scholars of language say, Jabbar is somebody inside, they have low self-esteem, they are broken. To fill this gap, they try to be very proud and arrogant, and they try to humiliate others. So they combine both meanings in one. They have a gap inside. That's one thing that's very true. Anybody who talks too much, anybody who tries to overwhelm others, who tries to take controls, who trying to control others, is because there's a gap inside them. So they're trying to compensate for this gap. and take control of others. You know, Fir'aun probably, he needed a lot of help, probably inside, you know, he wasn't fully functional. But how does he compensate for this? He wants to take control of everything. So this is the meaning of Jabbar in the Quran. It was only used for Allah one time. Qahhar in the Quran, on the other hand, Al-Qahhar in the Quran was used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many times. Who can give me some examples? Always when it comes with another name, side by side. Which name is that? What did you say with? No. Al-Wahid. Who can give me some examples? Sorry? لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. Whose kingdom is it today? It is the kingdom of Allah, the one, the compelling. يَا صَاحِبَي السِّجْنِ أَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ أَمِ اللَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ. When Yusuf alayhi salam is talking to his prison inmates, giving them da'wah, he says, guys, think about it. Does it make sense to have many divided gods or one compelling God? Wahid al-Qahar. So it always comes together. Al-Wahid al-Qahar. Al-Wahid al-Qahar. In the Quran, it comes 6 times. Al-Wahid al-Qahar. Now tell me, what does Allah being one, Wahid, what does that have to do with Him being Qahar? Compelling, dominating. None can stand in front of Him. What does this have to do with this? What's the link? Yes. Subhanallah. Beautiful, mashallah. He says, if you think somebody is one, you think they're weak. But if you think they're many, you think they're strong. So when Allah says He's one, you think, okay, maybe He's weak. He says, no, He's one and He's Qahhar. He is the powerful and compelling. I didn't even think about this. Yes. Beautiful. I cannot repeat, I cannot summarize it. It's too deep for me, Sheikh. I'll give you a good example. Allah uses His name Al-Qahhar in the Quran in 2 themes. The first is when He wants to establish He is the one and only, and there's nobody with Him. The second is when He wants to remind us about the Day of Judgment. Let us take the first. Allah being alone, the one and only, worthy of worship. When your Christian colleague at work tells you, today's Christmas, we're celebrating the Son of God. You think, wait, hold on a second. God has a son and a friend and this and that. Okay, interesting. Does that not show God is weak? There is a weakness due to which He needs a companion, a child, etc. But I'll give you an example from the political world, just for you to understand why it's important to combine Wahid and Qahhar. About 60 years ago, human beings developed some technology that made them qahir. It allowed them to compel and force other nations to do things. What was this technology? Does anybody know? The nuclear bomb. The nuclear bomb changed everything in the history of warfare, military, politics, everything. Because now, with one button, you can wipe an entire country out. Yes, Habibi. There was a version of the bomb earlier than that, it's true. They were experimenting in the garage. But now come to this point. Now today, anybody knows how many countries have nuclear weapons? Nobody knows. Let's estimate there's 8 or 9. Now if there's multiple countries that have nuclear weapons, when one of them says, I'm going to wipe you out, what's the other one going to say? Well, I might wipe you out first. So suddenly it's a stalemate. They cancel each other out. Suddenly, it's nothing special anymore because we all have it. If you develop some unique weapon, but then tomorrow I have it, then why? What are you special for? There's nothing special with you now. We're the same. That's why Even if the nuclear weapon makes you qahir, you can compel another country, you can finish them. But if you're not wahid, there's no point. You're not the only one that has it. If you are the only one that has that ability, then finish. You are the superpower. That's why there's what they call the arms race. There's a race to develop the next big weapon. But when someone develops something, then what happens to the other countries? They also develop it. So nobody remains a superpower. But this is the point, the madlul of this ayah. وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ. Allah can wipe everyone out, more than a nuclear bomb, but He's the only one who can do that. Nobody can come in front of Him. لَا رَادَّ لِقَضَائِهِ. If He decides, no one can push Him back. So this is a really important point to understand. The second theme that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name Al-Wahid Al-Qahar is mentioned is the theme of the Day of Judgment. And the theme of death. But I want you to tell me, why does Allah mention this name, Al-Wahid Al-Qahar, the one that can force anybody to do anything, the one whose say is the final say, the one who's the only one who has this power. Why does He use this in the context of death and the Day of Judgment? What's the link? Today, Manchester United, yeah? After how many weeks? First you came in a City shirt, then you came in PSG, then Barcelona. What is this? You have to be loyal, Habibi. It's okay, we'll let you off, inshallah. Yes. What is the link between death and the Day of Judgment in Allah's name, Al-Wahid Al-Qahar? Yes. Yes, Sheikh.
Allah is going to resurrect all the kings of this world.
Mm.
Like ancient times till maybe the future, the last one of them.
Mm.
From their fingertips. I mean, up to their fingertips. And He's going to, you know, wipe them out again.
Mm.
He's going to show them His power.
Ah, this is it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to resurrect all of the kings and wipe them out and show them His power. You see, because human beings have this illusion that they can do anything. That with their minds and with their technology and their science and all of these great tools, they can do anything and no one can stop them. But there are some things that happen. You might be the most powerful person in the world, but you can't stop it. What is that?
Death.
أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة. Wherever you are, death will come, even if you are in the most highest and protected of buildings. Your guards, your security, your protocols, your Pentagon, all, nothing will stop death when it comes. Finish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qahr, His power and His ability to make things happen, is everywhere in our lives. But when death comes, it shocks you. It's like you forgot for a second. Because what happens when death comes? You become paralyzed. You lose control of your own limbs. This hand, which all your life you moved back and forth with your own will, suddenly you can't even move your arm. You're looking at it. I want it to move. I can't move it. Suddenly when death comes, sakaratul maut, the pangs, the pains of death come, you start to realize, oh my goodness, I did not realize my whole life how powerless I am in front of Allah. How paralyzed I can be in front of Allah. In Surah Ibrahim, in the verses I recited at the beginning, there's one beautiful example of when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He wants us to understand from His names, Al-Wahid, Al-Qahar, the one and the compelling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to talk about those people who rejected his guidance and His message. And they threatened His messengers, alayhi wasalam, with punishment, with destruction, with war. If you don't keep quiet, the guns are coming. The CIA, the Mukhabarat are coming. You're going to be bombed. You're going to be finished. You're going to be imprisoned. They threatened the messengers of Allah alayhi salam. We'll break your bones. We'll kill you. We'll be quiet or you're finished. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَدْ مَكَرُوا مَكْرَهُمْ. They did their planning. وَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَكْرُهُمْ. And Allah knows what they were planning. وَإِنْ كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. Even though the things they were planning were so grave in the sight of Allah, the mountains would have fallen from the gravity of what they were planning. But then Allah reminds us something important. This is very important for those people who have come here from countries, Muslim countries, other countries, who are sitting here reflecting about Syria, reflecting about Egypt, reflecting about Palestine, reflecting about Iraq, reflecting about every country which is under the grip of a tyrant and its people are suffering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, they can plan whatever they want to plan. But, فَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ مُخْلِفَ وَعْدِهِ رُسُولَهُ. Don't think Allah will give up the promise He made. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ ذُو انْتِقَامٍ. Allah is Aziz. None can come in His way, the mighty. ذُو انْتِقَامٍ. He takes vengeance for His prophets. When will Allah take vengeance for His prophets? The prophets that were harmed, that were hit, that were sworn at, that were their families were killed, all for the sake of Allah. When, and those people who were standing above the bodies of these prophets thought, look at this prophet of Allah under my foot. I am the far. Who's this guy? I'm the powerful. When will the tables be turned and the real power be shown? Only on the Day of Judgment. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ. The earth will be replaced for a different earth. And the heavens will be replaced. وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ. They will be stood in front of Allah. All of them naked, unclothed. Where are the kings today? Where are the presidents? Where are the prime ministers, dictators? Oppressors, where are you today? Where's your army? Oh, I don't see it anywhere. It looks like today, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. Today there's only one power, the power of Allah, the one, the compelling. Nobody can stand in His way.
وَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُقَرَّنِينَ فِي الْأَصْفَادِ.
These oppressors, Allah calls them مُجْرِمِينَ, criminals. On that day, they will not be powerful, they'll be criminals. Allah says, you will see them tied and shackled.
سَرَابِيلُهُمْ مِنْ قَطِرَانٍ وَتَغْشَى وُجُوهَهُمُ النَّارِ لِيَجَزِيَ اللَّهُ كُلَّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ.
Everybody will get what they deserve that day.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ.
One page before this, Allah introduced this whole section by saying,
وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ.
Don't think when you see somebody is oppressing, wronging others, humiliating them under their power, don't think Allah's letting them go because Allah is unable to stop them. No, Allah is not unaware of what they do.
إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ.
He's delaying their punishment so that when the punishment comes, it'll be much worse. Don't think that by the evil people being in power and oppressing those beneath them, whether it's a boss at work, whether it's a spouse oppressing their spouse, whether it's a king over a country, when you see them in power, you think, what? If Allah is all-powerful, why doesn't He remove this guy or this woman? You have to remind yourself, don't think Allah is ghafil, He doesn't know what's going on. He knows what's happening. But He is waiting, and this person has an expiry date, and when death comes, nothing they can do can change it. Pope Benedict VI, I believe, 300 years ago, when he was laying to die in the Vatican, he called three young boys, like these boys, and he paid them, and he cut a slit in his arm, and a slit in their arm, and he asked them to, using a pipe to transfer their blood to him. Why do you think he did this? Yes? He thought, by transferring the blood of a child to him, he's going to live longer. Minutes later, the children died and he died as well. From the end of time till today, human beings have been trying to prolong their life and prevent death. But when it comes, you know, the qahar of Allah is here. Allah is the compeller. Your will, your medicines, nothing can stop when Allah's will comes. But this is not just true of death and the day of judgment. It is true of all of our life. But we live in this illusion. We live thinking that people are powerful. Process, this is powerful, that. We give power to so many. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wahid. He is the sole owner of power. Al-qahhar. He is the one who compels. And when his compulsion comes, nobody can stand in front of him. Let us move to Suratul An'am. Suratul An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about his name, Al-Qahir. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. And let us reflect on these verses. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in these verses? Allah says,
وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ.
If Allah touches you with some evil, with some difficulty, no one can remove that difficulty except him. Cost of living crisis, you can't pay your energy bill. No one can remove it except him. You lost your job, voluntary redundancy, no one can remove it except him. Struggling in your marriage, you got a difficult spouse who's tarnishing your name in the community, no one can remove it except him.
وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ.
But if Allah gives you something good, He is the only one able to do all things. You might hear this and think, okay, Allah can remove the bad from me. Allah can give me the good. So why isn't He doing it?
وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ.
Allah says, if I want to do it, nobody can stop me. I am the qahir. I get things done. If I say it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So then you think even more. Then why isn't it happening? Why am I still stuck in this marriage? Why do I still not have a job? Why is it not happening if he's the qahir? Allah tells you here.
وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ.
Now you tell me. When you think, why doesn't Allah make things happen if he's qahir? He responds, وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. We took these two names before. So now you have to tell me. How do these two names answer the question? Many people have this question. Allah can remove, pay my loan. Allah can solve my marriage. Allah can solve my financial problem. Why isn't He doing it? He says here, وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. We need to give the uncles some time as well, brothers. Inshallah, give the uncles a chance. الْحَكِيمُ
الْخَبِيرُ. Ah,
Okay, الْحَكِيمُ means is Allah's wisdom for a reason. He's doing it for a reason, and Al-Khabir, Allah knows about it. Okay, yes.
It's like in Surah Al-Kahf, you know, when Khidr spoke to us.
Beautiful.
So you can apply that same thing. So Allah knows the future, and Allah is Hakim, like He's got His wisdom. With His wisdom, you see things that you think are wrong, but in fact they're not wrong. They're
beautiful. With the wisdom of Allah, Al-Hakim from Hikmah. With the wisdom of Allah, where you see something is bad for you or wrong, there is a wisdom, there is a benefit for you. That's why Allah is keeping it there. And Al-Khabir, He knows its effect and He knows what is best and what is bad for you. Beautiful. Anybody want to add anything? Yes. Yes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have put blessings in it. Sometimes Allah gives you something that looks bad. It looks like a test, but inside there is a gift hidden for you. Which name of Allah? Huh? Al-Latif. Al-Latif. This is the lutf of Allah. Sometimes He gives you something, looks like a test, a calamity, something bad. But once you unwrap it, once you get into it, actually it was better for you. Here, Al-Hakim Al-Khabir. Al-Hakim, the one who knows what to put where and when. The art and the science of timing. You know when you play cricket, this is a sport many of you may not be familiar with. When you play cricket and you're batting, it's all about the timing. Some people think it's about the wood of the bat or about the strength of the player. There are some very weak and very thin players, but they hit the ball very far. It's all about the timing. That's what they tell you. So the coach used to always tell me, just time it, don't hit it hard. And this is what it is. The wisdom of Allah is about timing. Allah knows the right timing to relieve you of your stress. And Allah knows the right timing to give you the stress. You know, stress we always think is a bad thing. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ سَأُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِي فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. Allah says, human beings were created in a rush. If you want to see the meaning of this word, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ, take a train from Stockport to London St. Pancras. Get out of London St. Pancras, just stand there, just watch people in London, central London. You'll understand, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. People are in a rush. Rush, 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 rush. Allah says, سَأُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِي, I'm going to show you my signs, فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ, don't be in a rush. That marriage situation you're trying to improve, that illness that you're trying to solve, that financial situation you want to remove, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a solution, but you might have to wait 15 years for it. How long did Ibrahim alayhi salam wait for his child? Yeah, 90 years. How long did Ayyub wait for his illness to go? 18 years. Yeah, more than almost 20 years. The Prophets alayhi salam are the best example of people who had to wait to see the qahr of Allah. How many years did the Prophet ﷺ have to experience in torture and humiliation until he saw the victory of Allah? How many years? 20, over 20 years. This is why today, you know, people make this into a fiqh discussion about, you know, can you rebel against the ruler and this. If you put all this aside, today we are very impatient people. We want solutions yesterday. But this is the sunnah of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed the universe in this way. He puts tyrants in place. He puts the wrong people in power. He tests those under them. Then he puts the right people in power, testing them. How will you deal with when you are in power? And he sees them and he watches them. And he gives them time, 10, 20, 30, 100 years. Don't be in a rush. The sunnah of Allah takes its time. Do not think because things are taking time, Allah is not qahir. He doesn't have the compelling nature to do as He wishes. أَتَى أَمْرُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. Allah's commandment is coming, so do not be in a rush. When Allah mentions His name, Al-Jabbar, in Surah Al-Hashr, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir. I want you to think carefully about the chain of names here. What does Al-Aziz mean? Sorry? Okay, high in status. Al-Izzah, dignity, high in status. Okay, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar. What does Al-Jabbar mean? He's the compelling. Whatever he wants will happen. Al-Mutakabbir, we took this name as well. The one who's great, good. The one who's greatest. And nobody can be greater than him. These three names are linked in a very careful order. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes His izzah, His status. If you want high status, just attach yourself to Al-Aziz. You will become high in status. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعِزَّةَ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ Allah jami'a. Allah has the status. If you're seeking it, go seek it with Him. But you have high in status, but you might be powerless. Like whom? The king. High in status, but he can't make legislation. He can't wage war on another country. He's practically powerless. So Allah is not just high in status, but He's Jabbar. When He says something happens, it happens. Boom. But when Allah makes something happen, people will stand up to oppose Him, His enemies, from the jinn, from the shaitan, from the human beings. Those little minions who think that they have power, they stand up. No, Allah cannot do this. No, this will happen. No, I'm going to stand. I am the powerful. Who do you think you are? like Nimrud, like Fir'aun. Here Allah says, Al-Mutakabbir. If you're going to oppose Allah, He is Al-Mutakabbir. He's going to squash you. He's the great, He's greater than you. Don't try. Subhanallah amma yushrikun. This is the silsila, the chain of names. Al-Jabbar, Allah's names, Al-Qahar, Al-Jabbar, Al-Wahid. These names inspire in us confidence in Allah. And just yesterday, we saw one of the world's leaders threaten another country with a nuclear attack. This is happening all the time. Countries threatening countries, cannons being pointed at other countries. And in all of this game, this circus that you see, you might lose the perspective. Allah is Jabbar. Uncle, where are you from? Min ayn ant? From Morocco. Who came and tried to be Jabbar in Morocco a few hundred years ago? The French. And where else?
The Spanish.
When Muslim countries were colonized by the British, by the French, they really came and they tried to compel the Muslims. They changed the language of the curriculum to French. They changed what was spoken done in the schools. They changed the rules. They changed the laws. They changed the names of places, right? They tried to change everything. Today, what language? Yes, they may speak French. But have the Moroccans lost the Arabic language? Is it empty? There's no Arabic in Morocco anymore? Maybe if you don't understand Darija, you might say that. But at their heart, Islam never left. The learning of Islam, the adhan, the salawat, the symbols of Allah are still there. The rulership of Allah is still there. And this is where you understand La ghaliba illallah. This idea, there is no one who can overcome others, who can dominate except Allah. If you go to Al-Andalus, if you go to Spain today, and you go to the Alhambra Masjid, and you go to the other great masajid of Spain, you will see this etched into the walls. La ghaliba illallah. Nobody can overtake Allah. Do not let the grandeur of your opponents and those trying to suppress Islam make you think Islam is weak. No. We do not derive our strength in numbers or arms or wealth. We derive our strength from where? From Allah. And that is why if Allah wants a thing to happen, it will always happen, no matter who opposes it. And this is what happened in Morocco and in Algeria and in every Muslim country that was colonized by other forces, superior, stronger, more wealthy forces. Eventually, what happened? They left or they were kicked out. What happened in Libya? Who remembers the gentleman in Libya who scared, who was a force to deal with the Italians? Umar al-Mukhtar. They used to call him Lion of the Desert. Young boys, if you don't know the story of this man, Lion of the Desert, you have to go and learn. Right, there's an old movie about him, Lion of the Desert, Anthony Quinn, Umar al-Mukhtar. This is a story of a little, a simple Quran, an old man, Quran teacher in the middle of the desert of Libya, who was able to deal with the Italian forces and get them out. And in the end, he died. He was killed. But upon La ilaha illallah, what is the lesson of the story? There are those who wish to pulverize Islam, those who wish to humiliate Muslims, those who wish to destroy Islam from the face of the earth. But they don't have Allah on their side. And that is why always they will fail eventually. They can try every trick in the book, but eventually always they will fail when there is a Muslim on the other side whose heart is attached to Al-Jabbar, Al-Qahhar, Al-Mutakabbir. They have no chance. It is just a matter of time. So don't be in a rush. Yes. Yep.
Genghis Khan people invaded Iraq, Baghdad, and they killed a lot of people.
Yes.
And then there was a scholar there. So this lady was the head of the army. And she was like the daughter of Genghis Khan, something like that.
Yeah.
She was very arrogant and she said, "Where is your Allah now? We destroyed you completely." So the scholar said to her, he said, "You see, there is a shepherd. There is, the sheep. So when the sheep go astray, the wolf, the wolf come."
Just for the sheep. Yeah.
So like, they need to get in line to get protected, go back to the shepherd. So basically, he told her, the Muslims are the same. If they come back in line,
beautiful.
No wolf can get them.
He's talking about when, I don't know the authenticity of the story, but we'll summarize it for those who can't hear. He said that when the Mongols invaded Iraq and killed millions of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, the Mongol general, as it were, you know, said to the believers, the leader of the Muslim army, what's going on here? How come you guys are being killed left, right and center? And he said, look, when the sheep go away from the shepherd, that's when the wolf attacks them. But if the sheep come back to the shepherd, they become safe from the wolf. Right now, the Muslims are away from their Lord. So the wolf is, it's easy for the wolf to attack them. When they return to him, then he will keep them safe.
He said, Allah sent you as a wolf to the
sheep. Allah sent you as a wolf to the sheep. It's a beautiful lesson. And this is it. Al-Jabbar al-Qahar tells us the power of Allah. That everything you see in the world today, from politicians and wars, it's all a circus. All that is happening is the will of Allah is being carried out. And exactly what Allah wants is happening. And what should we have when such situations are happening? When we are in the weak position, when we are struggling, you know, we can't even dictate what our children are taught in schools. We have to resist, but we have to put our trust that Allah's will be final. That doesn't mean we have to be weak. That doesn't mean we sit back and we just wait. That means we have to show sabr. That's what Allah tells the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. After showing the Prophet, he destroyed previous nations. Allah can do this. Allah is able to do that. Allah says to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam,
فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ وَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلْ لَهُمْ.
Be patient like the great prophets were. They were patient. They were persistent. They didn't give up.
كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَ مَا يُوعَدُونَ لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا سَاعَةً مِّن نَهَارٍ.
When they eventually see the promise of Allah come, it will be like they were only alive for part of a day, half an hour. Their life, they will be finished like this. But we have to trust the power of Allah.
This Al-Jabbar Al-Qahar, this name, these are the names of Allah, which helped Muslims when they were under defeat and in weakness and in struggle. Whether they were being slaughtered by the Mongols, or they were being slaughtered by the Romans, or the Persians, or the Meccans, it doesn't matter. It was always, they were always in the minority, they always had the odds stacked up against them.
وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٌ.
Don't forget Badr, the very first battle, you were less in number. You were humiliated, but Allah helped you.
نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ.
Be conscious of Allah, you will win.
Winning is not about winning the material game, getting that promotion, developing the next weapon. That's not winning. Winning is everybody else is distracted by these things and you are in the remembrance of Allah. To die with the remembrance of Allah is the win. Even if you lost in the battlefield. That is why in the Battle of Uhud, the Muslims lost the war. They lost the battle, but they won the war. Because the war was not about arrows and swords. The war was about dying upon La ilaha illallah. And they died upon La ilaha illallah. That is the win. That is the success. To be persistent until our last and dying breath upon La ilaha illallah. This is really what success is about. It's not about winning the means and the money and the tools and the power and the positions. This is not what it's about. It's about dying upon La ilaha illallah. And this is why when Allah, every Friday you hear this ayah.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ittaqullaha hatta haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun.
We're going to come back to death. Al-Qahar, you'll remember his Qahar when death comes. This is the moment that we are waiting for to prove our iman.
May Allah make us all die upon La ilaha illallah. Allahumma ahsin aqibatana bi La ilaha illallah. Allahumma ahsin khatimatana. Allahumma jammil alsinatana bi La ilaha illallah. Allahumma jammil qulubana bi La ilaha illallah. Allahumma ja'alna minash shuhada. Allahumma innaka antal jabbar. Allahumma innaka antal qahhar. La radda li qadaik ولا مبدل لكلماتك وأنت على كل شيء قدير اللهم نحن الضعفاء وأنت الغني الحميد اللهم امن علينا واغفر لنا وارحمنا وأنت أرحم الراحمين وصل اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.